Well, we begin this afternoon with Gaza and the hope that perhaps finally the Palestinians living there might escape the daily horror of constant attacks from the Israeli Defence Forces. As Donald Trump's peace plan has a somewhat uncertain start, the effort to raise awareness and get aid into Gaza also continues. A second aid flotilla is en route to there, as many of those detained by the IDF in another flotilla this week are still being held. Let's get the latest from RT's Aisling Kenny, who joins us now from Tel Aviv. Aisling, the Israeli Prime Minister said last night that both sides were what he called on the brink of agreeing a peace plan. Is there optimism this time around?
Yes, well, I think there is momentum now around a potential ceasefire and cautious optimism there too in Israel and in Gaza that a deal can be reached. But the coming days will be pivotal, and there are critical sticking points that still remain and that need to be worked out. One of the key ones is the fact that Hamas still hasn't said whether or not it will disarm, and that's a key demand by Israel. There's also the fact that the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he is under intense pressure now from far-right coalition partners who say they won't agree to any ceasefire unless Hamas disarms. So these obstacles have to be worked out first before there is going to be any lasting peace.
One of the differences, Aisling, this time around is that Benjamin Netanyahu has sent pretty senior officials, very close aides, and we know that Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner will be in Egypt too for the talks. Is the fact that Mr. Netanyahu sent more senior aides this time around an indication that he is serious this time?
Well, yeah, as you said, the US Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and President Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner are on their way to Egypt today to work out the technical details of this plan, including the release of hostages. These talks are beginning a day before the second anniversary of the Hamas attacks here in Israel. Now, the fact that negotiations are taking place is, of course, a positive sign. But as people listening will be aware, we've had ceasefire deals in the past that didn't hold. Pressure, though, this time round now really mounting on both sides to agree to this deal on the table.
Now, Donald Trump is talking tough on it. He has said to Hamas they have to deal with this properly this time around. But he has also said to Israel that they should stop their attacks on Gaza, and that hasn't happened. Since details of this plan emerged, they are continuing to strike inside the strip, bombing and killing as well.
Yes, that's right, Fran. Despite calls by President Donald Trump yesterday on Israel to stop the attacks, to give the negotiations a chance, these attacks have continued in the enclave today. Reports of planes and tanks pounding the area overnight. Witnesses said Israeli planes escalated attacks against targets across the city this morning. Reports of drones dropping grenades on rooftops. So, as you said, despite these calls, the attacks are continuing. So these calls appear to have fallen on deaf ears.
What about the reality inside domestically in Israel? Some fairly vocal voices around hostages' families. Are they continuing to make a lot of noise about what they want to happen next?
They are. We have spoken to a number of families of the Israeli hostages. They've been protesting here in Tel Aviv in Hostage Square over the past few days, and they want this war to end. They want their loved ones to come home. The Israeli Prime Minister is under real pressure now to bring these people home. And Benjamin Netanyahu said yesterday he hoped they could be released in the coming days. Whether or not this actually happens now remains to be seen. He's also coming under pressure from right-wing coalition partners who say they want Hamas disarmed, as I said, before any deal can be reached. Now, the bottom line is the best chance of peace in Gaza at the moment and to ensure all hostages are released are, of course, this deal. But we know that nothing is agreed until everything is agreed. And at the moment, the bombing and the attacks are continuing on Gaza today.
Aisling, what about the 16 Irish citizens who've been detained by the IDF? We know they're being held in a prison in the Negev Desert. Are they still there? What do we know about them at this point?
Well, at the moment, I understand that the 16 Irish people detained after the Israeli military intercepted their flotilla, they're still in Katziot prison here in Israel, awaiting to be deported. Officials from the Department of Foreign Affairs have been in contact with the detainees, and the Irish ambassador to Israel, Sonia McGuinness, she met them on Friday. Now, the fact that over 450 people had to be processed by the Israeli authorities, and also the fact that it's Yom Kippur holiday here in Israel over the last few days, all of this means that it's going to take time for the deportations to happen.
All right, Aislinn Kenny in Tel Aviv, thanks for bringing us the latest on that. More on the prospect of peace a little later. We're going to stay in the Middle East now. And earlier in the programme, we heard from our reporter Aislinn Kenny in Israel about the reaction to this so-called peace plan in Gaza. The big question now is, can it deliver on what has been promised? And if it does hold, who's going to put a destroyed Gaza Strip back together again? Let's talk now to Middle East correspondent with The Economist, Greg Karlstrom. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon to you.
These talks that are going to get underway in Israel, the Prime Minister in Tel Aviv has said they won't be prolonged, possibly days. How likely is it, do you think, that there will be some form of agreement?
I think there will be a lot of pressure from the Americans for an agreement, but I'm still uncertain whether Hamas is going to agree to the deal that's on the table here. I think their concerns going into these talks are the same ones that they have had for many, many months now. They want to know that if they release all of the 48 hostages they're still holding in captivity, that they guarantee an end to the war and they guarantee a significant Israeli withdrawal from Gaza, that this won't simply be a hostage release and then the war will resume days later. And I think the challenge for the Americans is going to be, you know, working through their partners in the Arab world, trying to find a way to give Hamas those sorts of reassurances.
Is part of the issue what we don't know? Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State in the US, has just done an interview on ABC, and he has said that Hamas, he thinks they have accepted the outlines and principles of the plan, but he said what hasn't been worked out is what the logistics of it will be and how it's going to work. Is that the problem, that there's a lot of detail to come and we don't know where that could go?
That's one of the problems. I think you can look at this response that Hamas gave on Friday night, and effectively it divides Trump's plan into two halves. Hamas has more or less agreed in principle to the first half of it, which is a ceasefire in Gaza, the release of the hostages, a surge of humanitarian aid going into the territory. All of that could play out quite quickly. But then there are longer term questions about, will Hamas disarm under this proposal? Who is going to govern Gaza after the war? Who is going to provide security there? The Trump plan had some answers, some vague answers, but some answers to those questions. Hamas has more or less either ignored or rejected those principles of the Trump plan. So I think it's fair to say, going back to what Rubio said, it's fair to say that Hamas is sort of on board with the immediate half of the plan, but I think there's much less agreement about what the future of Gaza is going to look like.
Now, we know many of the Hamas leaders aren't in Gaza. They're based in the Middle East. We saw evidence of that in the past few weeks. But its militant wing is. Do we know much about the balance of power within Hamas and as to who could be the most influential in terms of what decisions are made?
I mean, I think it's hard to say definitively, first of all, because the military commanders in Gaza, obviously no one outside of the group has heard from them for 2 years. So we're all speculating a bit about the balance of power. But I think broadly from my own reporting, it seems as if the political leadership of the group, who are mostly based in Qatar, in the Gulf these days, they are broadly in favor of this deal, albeit with some reservations about some of the specifics. The military leaders of Hamas in Gaza, and there aren't many of those left, the sort of high-ranking military commanders of the group, many of them have been killed over the past 2 years. But the ones who are left, I think, have more reservations about the deal. They are particularly opposed to any provision that would require them to disarm, require them to hand over their weapons.
There is what's been called a second stage by Israel, that point you made before about disarming Hamas and demilitarizing the Strip. And what the Israeli Prime Minister said last night, that would be done either diplomatically or by military force. Surely that will spell a lot of concern, not least for the people who are in Gaza, but for those who are trying to broker peace in that region.
Right. And these are the sorts of disagreements that make people worried that this agreement, you know, this broader plan is not going to get off the ground. The Trump proposal imagines that there will be a peacekeeping force comprised mostly of troops from other Arab countries. They will go into Gaza. They'll provide security after the war, and they will oversee some kind of process for disarming Hamas. Now, the Israelis have concerns about that plan. They essentially don't trust other countries to do it. They don't trust Arab countries to be in charge of security. And so they are pushing to retain part of Gaza, to retain a presence in part of Gaza after the war. And then on the other side, you have Hamas, which insists that it will not disarm until there is a Palestinian state established, until they can hand their weapons over to a legitimate Palestinian authority. It's very hard to see how you reconcile those very different positions on that issue.
One of the things we've seen emerged over the past 24 hours is a withdrawal line. Donald Trump posted a picture, a map, basically, of Gaza with this new line, which is way beyond the existing border. Do we know what that actually is? Or is Gaza about to get even smaller?
According to the plan that Trump presented at the White House on Monday, there are going to be three Israeli withdrawals in the coming months or perhaps coming years. There's an initial pullout that will take place once the hostages are released. That's that yellow line on the map that Trump released yesterday. But that would leave Israel in control of a very large buffer zone around the borders of Gaza, in some places more than 3 kilometers deep. There would be subsequent withdrawals to lines closer to the border, but those aren't meant to happen, according to the deal, until this international peacekeeping force is ready to go into Gaza, and it's not clear when or if that force actually will be ready to go in. So it's possible that, you know, for the foreseeable future, Israel is going to remain the occupying power in a fairly large chunk of Gazan territory.
Those talks are due to get underway tomorrow, so we'll see how things go over the coming days. Greg Karlstrom from The Economist, thanks for speaking to us this afternoon. In a moment, could your local property tax be about to go up?